There we go. Okay. Cheers.
Cheers. It is amazing to be here.
It's very surreal.
What is it like? How long has it been?
Since we had a podcast?
Yeah.
Since October of 2021, since right before your shoulder.
Wow.
Because we were supposed to record when you had to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And I like texted you. I was like, hey, you up for a podcast? You're like, my arm hurts. I need to go to the doctor. And I was like, oh, I hope it'll be fine. His arm is probably sprained or something. And then you were knocked out for like weeks. And then that threw you behind on work. And then now it's June. Oh, man.
Like that entire era. I'm going to call it an era.
This is actually recording.
Hi. Okay. I think it is.
Can you see the tally light? No,
I can't.
The cage blocks the tally light. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. But like that entire era, I'm going to call it an era.
Yeah.
Because it was like 3 months. It was so strange.
I remember before it happened, you were telling me like, okay, we're going into October. Here's all the plans that I have. I have these crazy opportunities. I have these commitments. I have these everything. And it's going to be great. And we were like, we're going to do a podcast every week to the end of the year at least. Put it on the calendar. It was going like clockwork for a while.
Yeah, it was.
And then it just didn't.
Everything just died with that. Like the entire, it was so strange as well because like the blood clot was like, it's something that I never experienced because it went from like, I'm doing well, I'm having a little bit of pain in my arm to like, I'm almost dying.
In like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember that all the work, like that one downside with being a YouTuber is that like, there's no one there that does that for you. No one can be in front of the camera.
Yeah. And you were doing time sensitive stuff too. That was like supposed to come out on.
It was like, I remember I had the Mavic video. I had the Ronin video. And there was like, there was so many videos that I had to have finished. Like I think I made a video for MSI.
Yeah.
At the same time. And all of that just like, I got to throw it over there. And the weird thing was that those videos were kind of like, if I didn't make those videos, I would not be able to have the amount of money that
they were important ones.
Yeah. Because there was a lot of money involved in those.
And it was the end of the year.
Yes.
So there's not a lot of time to make it up.
So it was like November. I think I was the most stressed that I've ever been right around there. But then I also got back, like when we didn't do the podcast, I got back to like the working out part and started to really think like what is actually worth spending my time
like
on
health.
Right now. Yeah. And that was what I feel like I wanted to focus on me and me only right now.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because you can't do. Yeah. There's a lot of flies out here. If you're just listening to the audio only version, we're outside in my backyard in California.
Yeah. So I didn't even think about that.
If you're seeing a video of this, you know that because you're like, why is there a palm tree? But if you're listening, you're like, why do they have this weird ambient, like, why
it's like helicopters, airplanes.
But you know what? We wanted to take advantage of, I don't know, we can record in our studios anytime.
Yeah, of course.
But it's crazy. But yeah, we can't do, as we both know, you can't do anything if you're not taken care of. And okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the first day when I arrived here kind of, like, reminded us of how fragile we are as humans again.
Yeah. It would be a lot easier to be, like, a robot or a machine.
Yes.
But nope, we are not.
When I was on the flight over here, I was starting to feel, like, a little bad. You know, my stomach. Yeah. I was going to the toilet on the airplane, and I felt like, oh, there's something like, not feeling
something's
that
not
good.
Right.
And then, you know, I had a couple of whiskeys on the plane and I had a few beers and then like I landed, there was jet lag and I thought like, yeah, it's probably, I'm tired. Right.
Yeah. And, cause you were awake for 22 hours at least that day.
Yeah.
And you traveled literally to the other side of the planet. So it makes sense that you would not feel great.
Of course. But then it was, let's just say that it was coming out, the beer was coming out from the wrong hole. Like, it's, it was strange. And that was for like 1.5 days. And we couldn't do anything. We couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't do anything. I was sleeping.
We were pretty location bound
for
that. And then luckily, Then yesterday you started feeling good. Today you're feeling great.
And now Tom is starting to feel
today I'm feeling a little funky.
But we're hoping that
you're I woke up checked. Feeling a little strange, and we're supposed to leave today to go to LA to kind of like have an LA day, and then you leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that would be great because it's a very cool spot. We have two hotel rooms. I even specifically got you like a what should be like a nice corner-ish view room of like the harbor. You can do time lapses out the window, sunset view.
This man, he's the best host ever. He and Heather.
Not just of podcasts, but of guests as well.
It's like getting into the guest room. There's like a note. Here's the Wi-Fi password. Have a little bit of snack. He even bought Swedish fish.
Yeah, which I know are not like super popular in Sweden, but it really made me laugh.
Oh.
That like it, I don't know.
So how's your time been ever since October?
Oh my god! It's like that feels like 4 years ago. I mean, it's been great. Like it's been because it officially passed 1 year of working for myself.
Yeah,
of not having a regular job working for myself. Yeah, because when you start, it's like, okay, maybe I'm just riding some momentum and this is going to fall apart after 3 months, but it's like, now it's well over a year. And that's huge. And so that feels really, really good.
So right now you feel like you do not want to go back.
I don't know. There's no wood here to not, but something would have to go really wrong. Like that would be a desperate situation. I don't think Heather would let me go back to what I was doing before. But yeah, and it's so crazy too. The thing I've learned, I guess, this is actually an important one, is people see what you're doing and they want you, you know, I'm sure you get like job offers from time to time where people are like, if you want to come with us, and that feels really good, especially in a world where that's not something you can always get. And so I always politely and gratefully say no, because some of them are really cool ones where if I had a different job, I would be like, yeah, I definitely want this. But with what I have now, the answer is no. But it's nice to know there are people who root for you. So if things go wrong, they don't want you to fail. They would help you not just fall to like...
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you said like the job opportunities, you know, coming in. And I think that one of the things that I've realized is that as long as I'm seen... like on YouTube, on Instagram, there will be job opportunities. There will always be someone that's saying, hey, we need someone to film this client, or we need someone to help us do this client video.
Yeah.
And I've realized that as long as I'm active, the jobs will be there. So if
something it's like a safety net.
Yeah. If something were to happen, I mean, like you would be good.
Yeah. So that's been a cool realization. And yeah. And so the past since October, it's been working on a lot of that and just trying to be as good as I can be and as, you know, get better every time and all that kind of stuff. So it's been great.
That is awesome.
I feel like there's a nice rhythm and a nice, you know, sustainable rhythm. Yeah.
That's so good to hear.
So how about like, I know there's a lot to catch up on.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking for like 3 days and there's still a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, we should have just been recording in the car and stuff the whole time. But now we're out here. So how's America?
You know, I've been here once, 17 years ago. And one of my most vivid memories I told you the other day is like someone throwing rocks at me from the public transport in San Francisco.
It's not a thing that we normally do here.
I
it's not like a pastime.
I didn't think that it was, but it's like America is so different from Sweden in a way.
Yeah.
Everything is big. And like, I don't know how many times I've pointed out the amount of trucks and pickups.
I have never noticed. And now for the rest of my life, I'm going to be like, there's a pickup, there's a pickup, there's a pickup.
and all the pickups seems to be like competing against each other. Like
who to be has the biggest and the most lifted and the biggest wheels. Biggest
tires.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
But it's also pretty cool to see how different it is and how, you know, how everything that I see on TV shows is actually kind of the way it is in one way.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's really strange because being here, you don't know, like, it's kind of normal. Like, I have my life, and then I watch TV and movies, and it kind of seems like it's the same culture.
Yeah.
Cool. But then you think, like, well, wait. The rest of, like...
Yeah, and it's not that Swedish is that much different,
right?
But it's still a lot different. I was talking to Heather when you were out here setting this up that growing up in Sweden, it's very much like, especially growing up outside of the city.
Yeah, yeah.
When we went and visited your city,
yeah,
yesterday, it's like, it's way bigger.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
We drove by the house I grew up in yesterday just because we happened to be passing through that town on the way to Joshua Tree to like do some videos, and I was like, you know, this is a weird detour, but I don't know when this opportunity is going to pop up again, so we're going to drive by like the house I grew up in, which is very run down now. It's not great, but it's a very small town, and I grew up like there's nothing here. It was smaller when I was younger.
And how many people live there?
Live there now?
When you grew up?
When I grew up, it was like 25,000, maybe.
That's a small town. Like the town where I grew up, it was like 1,000.
Oh, that's like way small.
Yeah. So for me, it was like everyone knew everyone.
Yeah.
Legit everyone. And you could just, like, my mom and dad said, like, hey,
just open the door and go play, do something.
And then get back when it's food. And that's it. You know?
Yeah.
And there's like, we have the right to roam everywhere. You know, as I told you, we can just stop by the edge of the road and then jump into the forest and don't have to worry about like, trespassing.
Yeah, this is our last resort, which is actually great. I'm very happy with this, but we tried so hard yesterday to find a podcast location. We found an amazing one that was like
a good spot.
It was kind of overlooking a valley, mountains, sunset,
and there highway.
Was highway, and then there were huge power line things going, which framed the shot and just looked big and crazy. And then we got out of the car we were gonna set this setup up in like the back of the car. And as soon as we got out, we just heard, you could just hear the electricity, which would have been annoying on mic, but it also probably would have given us like superpowers or sickness or something.
Yeah, both of us.
Maybe that's why I'm feeling sick today.
Both of us were like, it doesn't feel safe.
Should we sit here for an hour and just like...
And then like all of a sudden...
But then we were like, okay, we're not going to do that. We were looking for other places. Couldn't find any, but the sun was setting. So it was like, you know what? Let's quickly find a random spot and get some golden hour sunset photos. So we found a spot that is literally 3 minutes away from where I live, probably. And I had actually never been there, but I just seen people going through and I was like, hey, maybe this thing will work. It went through and it was absolutely perfect. And it was the whole thing.
So good.
Because it was what you were saying of, like this morning you were editing a video and there was a drone shot. And I was like, this is so cool with like the buildings and the harbor and the river, whatever. And you're like, this is just what I'm used to.
Yeah.
And to go to a place that I've gone past 100 times, but then to go there with someone else, it's like, oh no, this, and it has this, and we got this. And it's like, wow. Like you do seeing the place you're used to through somebody else's eyes really opens up like, oh shoot.
Yeah, it does. And I think that is also kind of the cool thing. When I go out here, everything is new for me.
Yeah.
Like I've never experienced this because when I was here the last time, I had no interest in photo and video.
Teenager.
Yeah. I mean, like that was like, I'm a rebel.
That's why people are throwing rocks at you.
Yeah. And now you see things with another eye. You see it like everything looks interesting because it's nothing like home.
Right. Know?
So just being out there, the sun is setting, there's a little bit of smog or something, you know, it looks super hazy, the sand is blowing. I mean, like, I've never been to a desert in my entire life.
Yeah, it's the Breaking Bad playset.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been to Dubai desert, I have.
That's definitely a desert.
Yeah, it is, but it's still in Dubai, so it's like, everything is a desert there.
Yeah, it's very different than here, but I mean, like, yeah, right now it is... My watch is now set to Celsius for this trip. So it's 32 degrees Celsius, which is warm.
It is. You can definitely feel it.
Yeah. I'll be changing my shirt later. Mm. But
no, but jumping back to what you said about seeing things from a different perspective, it kind of brings me, like, my thoughts to the vlog style videos that I've been doing recently, which I have a lot of fun with. I love them.
I was watching Peter edit a vlog, and the amount of times he laughs while editing is great.
It's like, if you're watching this or if you're listening to this and you want to see the video that we're talking about, it's the me flying in business class. I think it's called Taking a Break. And the thing is that when I shot that video, I had a feeling that this is going to look so boring. It's going to look so bad. It's going to be so incredibly boring to look at. But then as I was editing it, I also realized that like the editing is the superpower.
Oh my God.
That we want to have, because just pressing a button, just cutting away this part, it makes like it makes everything. It makes it interesting, makes it more frenetic, it makes it more upbeat, it makes like, you know, stuff is happening all the time.
So, because we kind of talked about this the other day, because editing, it seems like when there are people who want to start making videos and doing stuff, and it starts to become a lot of work,
yeah,
it's the very first thing that people want to outsource.
Yeah,
I'll record the videos, and I'm going to hire someone to edit them together. And I know you've tried, like, working with people to edit videos and stuff, too. So how do you feel about that?
I think it's a great thing, because the only way that I can get more time is to outsource the editing.
Right.
Right? Because I need to be in front of the camera. I can't have someone else sit in front of the camera and then I edit the video. But it is also one of the personal things that I feel like if I remove that, it needs to be someone that I know can do the same thing or better than I do. And I have tried like with an editor in the studio, which is great. He's really good at what he does, but it still doesn't feel exactly the same.
Yeah, it's not like your... They have to really be toned into your style.
Yes.
And then finding someone who can do that, who has the skills, who has the awareness of like, this is that.
But also the speed.
And the speed. And is okay. Like, it has to be somebody who wants to edit somebody else's videos.
Yes.
Like,
That's the thing, because editors can't be, especially if there's an editor that I want to have. Like, I can't have someone that wants to be in front of the camera. It doesn't work because I am the one in front of the camera. However egoistic it might sound, but our job is to be in front of the camera.
That's what the whole thing is built on. Yeah.
Yeah. And YouTube is that. It's like you either are doing the voiceover or you're making the video. Like it's your thing.
Yeah.
So being someone that does like the editing part and, you know, the recording part, you gotta find like the mid ground of what can I give away? And what can I keep?
Yeah.
Like what is me and what is someone else can do? And I feel like the editing part is a tough thing.
And it depends on the video too, of course.
Oh, yeah,
like
for sure.
There are some that are much easier for another person to handle versus like the vlog you made today. Nobody else could have made that.
No. And I feel like the vlog I made, I like my vlogs, I would never want anyone else.
Right. That's the whole point. It's almost like a diary. Like someone else writes your diary.
I feel like the vlogs are so interesting for me to make because it's a way of making my day interesting or my experience interesting for myself as well. Because when I experience it, I mean, like that was a 12-hour flight and I cut it down to like 6 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, there's that part of it and there's the part of it. It gives you, because even though I don't make a lot of vlog videos or anything anymore, but early on in my channel, I did. And it built something in that is still there where you just start looking at things differently because everything is like, what's interesting about this? How could I approach this? How, like, you just start, which makes you more aware, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you kind of think, like, if you're out filming something all the time, you're going to be disconnected from what you're doing. But in a way, it almost makes you more connected because you're, like, hyper aware of everything and every possibility and that it's kind of cool.
It is. And I think that when it comes to creating videos, it's very easy to get caught up in that you need to have the latest and greatest gear. You need to be like we talked about this yesterday, having a story. You need to have like the best subject that you create your vlog around.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to make a video, then make a video. You don't have to know what the video is going to be about, because as long as you're practicing the editing part of it, you're going to be able to find what the video is about when you're editing.
And that was the key thing, because that's what you said when we were talking yesterday, was if you want to do it, not like, okay, I have to do something today.
Yes.
And then you're really forcing things. But if you're like, you have the urge, like I really want to make a thing, I want to do something. And then like you said, you just jump into it in the morning and you're like, I don't know what it's going to be. But by the end of the day, it has turned into something.
Yeah. And all my videos, not all my videos, but all my vlogs, I'm going to say, starts out not what you see, but what I record.
Yeah.
It's basically at home in the morning. Me just
boiling eggs
or talking to the camera, brushing my teeth, whatever it might be. But I think that when you get into the habit of recording in the morning, then you also don't feel stressed, because when you get towards the end of the day, you do know that you started recording in the morning. So you have like 1 hour of footage.
Yeah.
Right?
No shortage. Yeah. And that's it's stressful when you have too much and you can't, like, it's almost too much to go through and piece together, but nothing is worse when it comes to editing than like, I just don't have, there's not enough here, and it's not something I can go back and like fix.
Oh man. When I was down with Peter, like I was feeling that the entire time. I'm like, should I be recording right now? Or should I like leave the camera? I should. Yeah.
I think how you felt on that trip is probably how I feel on this trip. Because I obviously, like, you were KO'd for a day or so, which in a way I was totally fine with, because when you were like lucid, we just got to hang out and talk, and there's no pressure. And that was actually like fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
And
it's been a great time so far.
Yeah, I love that. So that was cool. And then like starting yesterday, I was like, okay, let's go out and do stuff. And we had a very long active day yesterday.
Yeah. It was an intense day.
And I'm trying to like, it's been very interesting for me. You're, other than my wife, Heather, you're the only other like YouTube person that I've been around while they're making videos. I've never been like a part of or witness to or co-created with anybody. If I did and I forgot, I'm sorry, but at least on this, we're like, from the point of you're outlining your video in the morning, figuring out some shots, we're going here, we're doing that, setting up the gear, like the whole process, how somebody works. It's absolutely fascinating.
That's cool.
It has also made me real. I don't know how to describe this. And this is a good thing. This is a good learning experience for me. When I'm alone, I have so much confidence in my video making ability. I feel like I can get amazing. I can create what's in my mind. I can make it happen very well. I have a lot of fun doing it. But I'm mostly always by myself, whether it's inside, outside, whatever, and I can make it happen. As soon as eyes are on me or there's something there, there were times yesterday I was like, Tom, do you know how to use a camera? Have you focused the lens before? Like, do you not? And it's just because I think I was getting so like nervous or like, because I have no problem admitting, and this is actually a great thing, your video photo skills are beyond mine. And it's really cool to, you're like, it's really cool to be around somebody who's better at what you do than you are.
Yeah, thank you, first of all. No, I don't mean it like that. It's more like I've been doing.
You put in a lot of time
video,
and reps and
hours. I've been doing like video a lot.
Yeah, the years I've been working with cameras are longer, but the hours I don't think are longer.
No, and the amount of videos as well.
And the amount.
Like the amount of videos that I've actually published to YouTube that I've shot. You know, videos practicing the poker B-roll.
The whole process.
Like everything, it adds up. And I think that is like, there's so many people that don't value that aspect of it, because even though you don't get a lot of views, like the practice.
Every skill you build.
Every skill set, you're going to get better at shooting stuff. You're going to get better at creating the videos that you want to create. And people say, oh, it's so hard to vlog. Of course it is. Like, otherwise everyone would do it. I mean, like, it's hard to vlog, and everyone is looking at me or Casey. Now I'm like doing super comparisons here. I'm not going to compare myself to Casey, but everyone was looking at Casey.
Right.
Right. And they had him like with his time lapses and tried to do the exact same thing. But then again, that is the issue. It becomes the exact same thing.
Right.
Right. So you got to find what works for you. And for me, something that I've realized is, for example, when I'm shooting a vlog, I've started to use a little bit more POV style.
Yeah.
Right. So the POV makes it more like I'm seeing what Peter's seeing.
PLPOV.
Yeah. It's like Paul.
Paul. Yeah. And because you get inspired by other things and you take those and you try to do your version of it, but by the time you take what somebody else does, do your version of it, smash it with other things, then you have something that's different.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the time lapses. Yeah. I love the fact that Casey has time lapses in his videos. So I'm like, how can I apply this to my videos? And I take the time lapses. I do it differently because I set the shutter to like 1 second. Yep. So you have that super smooth
look. And I will probably be stealing this at points in the future.
You should.
It's great.
it looks so good. Yeah. And it looks different. It gives you this like, whoa, what is going on? Like,
it's a lot more motion. It feels like a lot more motion.
It is. And everything is like, it looks like silk, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and smooth.
And that for me is applying my style to a style that he had.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Exactly.
So when someone is doing the poker B-roll, when someone sends me a video of, hey, we did a copy of this, and it is the exact same video.
Right.
I feel like it is great.
I'm sure they learned something by making it.
They learned something and it is great, but why didn't you apply something from your own head, like from your own ideas? Because you set this entire thing up, like you could have made something better than
we did that. The blackjack B-roll.
Yeah. Sorry. No, but I think that is very important when it comes to making videos. Like, don't be caught up in trying to do what everyone else is doing, because it's just going to be a copy of
it's really interesting. And I was telling Heather this last night, like, as we went to bed, and like you were over there at your side and we were over here, and I was just like, you know, she was super excited that we had such a fun day and we got to like go out and create stuff together. And I was kind of telling her what I was telling you now about, like, yeah, but I learned a lot about myself, because some of it is just stuff that it's just personal confidence. Yeah. It's just like,
of course.
Cause a thing that I just slipped into is like, okay, we're out here doing this. And then like Peter's doing his video and I'm like, wait, I need to be like, why am I not filming something right now? It just was like, there's no time or like permission or this. And then feeling confident in, even if there were something that I do a little differently, that's okay.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, whatever it might be, a setting or a technique or whatever, like you do yours your way, I do mine my way, and both are fine.
Of course.
And just getting comfortable with that. And you kind of helped me, because you said something. Oh, I think you were talking about when you were with Peter McKinnon, you were like, oh yeah, just seeing how he's putting his videos together and cataloging multiple ideas and going through them at once. And then you were like, I learned a lot from that. And I'm like, okay, that's where it's like, I feel the same way. I'm seeing somebody else's process. There's parts that are different. I don't have to mirror that process.
No.
I should definitely be looking for things that I can cherry pick and like,
of course,
and incorporate into my own. But it was a very interesting thing of how different it felt from doing everything by myself always, to just doing doing something with another person just nearby. and somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, I am very used to being like the best photo video person.
Yeah.
And that's not braggy, but it's like, typically I'm the one who's done it the most, and I have the, like,
of course, you're the teacher.
I'm usually the one. Yeah. I was literally the one who's teaching other people how to do it. And so to be in a situation where it's like, you taught me so much about my camera yesterday that I've had for over a year, you know, and I'm sure there's more, and skills and techniques and stuff, but it's just like, and not feeling frustrated, because there's a thing, your ego can pop up really easily if somebody tells you how to do something and it's like, oh, they're saying I'm doing it wrong, they don't like mine, instead of going like, they're sharing really good information with me to help me. And to help us communicate together, and so I can be better.
Of course.
And then it's like, this is great. Like, I'm so. So it was a weird.
That's good.
Interlearning experience.
I'm always, whenever I'm doing something together with someone, I'm always trying to like convey that, hey, this is my opinion.
Right.
This is like, this is how I feel, and you don't have to do it. Like, do what works for you. Right. When you were standing on the rock yesterday, when I was taking, and you're like, no, I don't feel comfortable with this. Then feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, do what feels comfortable.
Yeah. Peter was like, you know, it's like when you're doing modeling stuff, you do this. And I was like, you know what? I have no experience doing.
and that is also something, because since I've been doing modeling since, what was it, like 2012?
Yeah. A decade.
So it's like a decade. And I know how to look good in front of a camera. Yeah. Like, do the moves and do this and pose. And for me, it's natural.
Right.
For me, it's something that I know. So for me, it's obvious when I talk to you. But then when you say that you're not comfortable, that is when it kind of like pops up in my head. Oh, of course. You haven't done it.
Yeah. There's the skill that I haven't done, which I bet if I did it for 10 years, I'd be a lot more comfortable. Of course. Like, pulling off the glasses.
But it's also very important and very how do you say, like, very, very important and very, what is the word for that?
Crucial?
Yeah, crucial that you actually say that you're uncomfortable.
Well, because that's a really fine line. And that's where, like, I was thinking of what Heather would say if we were there. Because at a certain point, I was like, what I would do is this, like, stupid thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I haven't seen those photos. So it's straight to the trash can. But that was where I was like, this is what I feel like I'm doing, what I'm doing. And there's a fine line between sometimes you need to push yourself out of a comfort zone and build a new skill that's going to feel super weird and you're going to need time to practice it. And there are other times where it's just not your thing, but you don't know.
Yeah, of course.
You have to attempt to see which one it is. And just because it is uncomfortable doesn't mean it's not your thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, this was super uncomfortable at first, being in front of a camera and talking and, like, oh my God. And
yes.
Now couldn't care less about that.
No.
As long as it's not being a model.
No, currently. But it's also one of those things, like, for me, I like when it looks cool.
Yeah.
Right? I like when I look like
you're an easy person to make look cool.
Thank you.
But just happens.
But it's like, I like that. I like when it looks like an action movie. I like when it looks like I'm standing there superhero style. That is me.
Right.
That is my kind of style. And people always comment that, like, this is Peter Lindgren. And I love that. But it's not for everyone.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that it's also very important when you and I are working together, or when we're out shooting, as you did yesterday, like saying that, you know what, I'm not really comfortable with this, because it also opens up a door that, okay, if this is not, like, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Because we were, last night at dinner, we were talking about, like, Heather and I were talking about that we're both at a point where we feel more comfortable being more assertive and aggressive, like reaching out to brands and sponsors and not just kind of waiting, but being a little more proactive about that. And there's a few that, like, that I, you know, have been, like, considering doing that to. And you guys asked, like, okay, so what would you do if you pitched this thing to them and they said no? And I went on, like, a 10-minute thing of, like, well, this is how I would feel and what I would do and then this and that, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, my God, Tom, you just say, okay, if not that, then how could we, like, what about this over here?
To an agreement?
Yeah. Like, they're not saying
Tom
no to
was
you.
Going like, I probably wouldn't use them in my videos as much and I probably wouldn't do this.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know.
And it was never occurred to you.
The idea, because I was like, they said no. And you're like, no, they're not saying no to you. They're saying no to that thing.
Yeah.
But you are fine. You are not that thing.
Yes.
And this is kind of the same thing of, like, okay, you're doing something that's not working, or you have a different idea. Yeah, and even film, and even shooting yesterday, because you know, you have an idea of, like, hey, we're doing this thing. I'm climbing up here, so get a shot of me doing this. But I am the one behind the camera who's seeing it, so I can see, like, actually, this doesn't work. But if the camera's over here, it looks a little better. But you can't. So I need to be the one that then goes, like, actually, I think this is going to be the way to go. Because
exactly, and I think that is also something that is very important when you're doing things together with a friend, or when you're doing something, don't be afraid to tell someone that it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But say it in the right way.
Yeah. This is a piece of crap.
Yeah. Something that I try to do is I say, I don't like it, because then it's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I don't say that you did a bad job.
Right.
Right. It's like, no, I don't like that.
Because it could be like, I did a thing that's totally fine, but you're maybe in a pose or something that I'm unaware of. I think it looks cool. And you're like, I actually don't like it when I look that way. So technically,
there's flies here. Yes. So no.
Technically, everything is correct. But there's just something that happens with Heather all the time where I'm like, oh, we're taking photos or whatever. And, like, this photo is perfect. And she's like, no, I hate, like, my hair from that angle. And I'm like, oh, I didn't. To me, this looks perfect. But she's like, I wouldn't want to use that photo because I don't like something about it.
Exactly.
And you know, I know there's it's the old, like, Hollywood thing of, like, oh, one more for safety. That was perfect, but just one more for safety.
And I think you should apply, or not you, but if you're listening and you want to go out and shoot with your friends and you don't think that they do, like, the job that you want them to do, is try to empower them to do what you want them to do, rather than say that I don't like this,
you're not
good at that, you should do it like this. Try to say, like, you know what? I think we can make it look better if we did this.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then all of a sudden the person will feel like, oh,
well, you're working together to come up with the ideas. And
yeah, or what if I climb up here? You don't even have to comment that you didn't like it.
Yeah.
Or,
you know. And also, if you're the one who's, it's okay, I guess, if on either end, behind or in front of the camera, you just admitting when you messed up. Like, there were a bunch of times where I'm using lenses I haven't used before, even though it's the same camera, the buttons are assigned differently. So there were many times where I was like, that looked cool, but I messed up the focus.
Yeah.
And it would have been very easy to go like, that looked cool. Like, I don't want to make you climb up a thing again or whatever, but then you're going to get the footage back and you're going to be like, I can't use this shot.
Yeah.
Cause it's out of focus. So it's like, what's better right now is to make you climb up the rock again. Yes.
And sometimes, especially when you're working in video production, if you're out shooting in the sunset or something, you got to make sure
there's a time crunch
that you just like crunch off those shots, get them, make sure that you have enough in the bank, and then then it's done.
that was fun. So like, it makes me really want to be able to like have that opportunity more.
Yeah.
So if you want to come around the world repeatedly,
I would love to come over again, because this, I feel like this trip in one way, it was like, it started off bad. It started off good, but then like the beginning of it,
day two, I got a text message. Yeah. Like, just a heads up, I'm feeling a little funky.
Yeah.
I was like,
I was in the bedroom and then like texting Tom, who was literally outside.
I was in like the living room or out here or something. Like,
oh God damn.
And I'm like, okay, I can go to the drugstore. I can get some stuff.
But it's been great so far.
So that's, and obviously like there's different trips, because this is, we've gone to a couple locations, but we, you know, there's a lot of the U.S. to see.
Oh, of course.
There's more than California.
There's so much that I want to see. I want to get back and see, like, what I would love to do is to take a 2 or 4 week trip, just cruise around the entire U.S., see like Monument Valley and Grand Canyon, that
road
kind of
trips.
Stuff. Yeah. There's just so many different locations when you compare it to Sweden, because Sweden is kind of the same. You know, in the summer, it's summer, and then winter is winter. It doesn't matter where you go, really.
Yeah, no, like how it is right now, even though it's the time of year it is right now, there is somewhere like battling a winter snowstorm and like crazy weather. And,
that blows my mind.
Yeah.
In the same country.
So that
is weird.
And that's the thing. I mean, you and I talked about this, and if you're listening to this or watching and you're from the U.S., you know this, but it's easy for people who've never been here to go like, hey, I'm going to be there for a week. I want to go to New York. I want to check out Vegas.
Oh, yeah, no.
I want to go to the beach in L.A. Like, let's go see the Redwoods. And it's like, that's 3 weeks. Like, you can't.
Just the distance to go, like, you're not living that far from L.A.
No.
But just the distance to go to L.A.
It's 110 miles.
It's like two and a half hours.
Yeah. I live 2 hours from everything, basically.
That's like, we go for a weekend, like when we go to Amanda's parents.
And it's 2.5 hours.
And it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I know, this is like, I'll pick you up at the airport.
That's like half a day.
Yeah, I mean, that is the reality of it. But I also am happy I don't live in LA, sorry.
So what are your plans moving forward, like from this point on, with your channel, with everything that you're doing right now?
The biggest thing, and what Heather and I always focus on, is like the sustainability of it.
Yeah.
Because there are certain things that happen, like the, you know, recently the Rodecaster Pro 2 was announced. And I was lucky enough that I was one of 10 people in the world that they sent one to. And then just because they had issues on their end, there were a whole bunch of issues. Even the people who got them didn't have working, like they were working, but they were almost bricked. They had no firmware. So you turn it on, just as like, congratulations, you're lucky. This will be active in the middle of June. You can't do anything with it. And Rode obviously was kind of like, well, geez, we don't want that to happen, but we don't want to send out a bunch of like beta firmware to people. Yeah. And then they see something that's just part, when you do beta firmware, it's just going something that's going to be fixed, but somebody might take that as like a problem, even though it isn't. And so they were like, okay, Tom, can we send you the beta firmware? And then, you know, you can use it. You understand what beta firmware is. And then at least you can get a feel for it and start sharing a user perspective instead of a company perspective. Oh boy. And I was like, of course I'm going to do that. But that meant outside of the factory, I'm the only person in the world with a working one. which is nuts. And also, obviously, I'm like, I have to take advantage of this because that's going to disappear very quickly. So it's like, normally I produce a video a week.
Yeah.
Last week I did 3 + 2 streams and like a podcast.
That's
and on top of that, like I think I had like 3 client calls, and it was absolute insanity, but it needed to happen. It was really good for the channel. It was like a moment that you have to seize. And I know if I could do that, if I could operate at that level every week, things would grow like crazy and I would die in 2 months. So it has to be like the sustainable thing of, okay, there are certain things I know I can do that will help growth. But I also want to keep wanting to do this in 5 years or as long as possible. And me just destroying myself and burning myself out isn't the way to do that. So there are times when you need to push and crunch and times when you need to like stick to the routine. And I'm kind of feeling that out a little bit.
Yeah.
And being more aggressive about, not so much aggressive as comfortable with reaching out, which I've really been trying to practice because you've helped me a lot. Thank goodness. Like if I ever have questions, I can just text you like, this thinking of this, is this okay, whatever. And what I've done is because I've been hesitant for working with brands, yeah, I've always been waiting for the ones I'm interested in to come to me, because then yes, I feel like you are in a more powerful position if they ask you, because then you're like, well, this is my rate. And if they say no, you're like, well, you came to me. It always sucks if someone's like, if you go to them, you're like, this is my rate, and you're like, no, and you're like, well, shoot, okay. Now they're in the powerful position, but so many people would never even know that it's even an option, you know?
No.
So reaching out for, there's lots of people you have relationships with that you've known for a long time, and being comfortable going, hey, I have this idea, or like, you know what I've been doing for years. Like, I think it's a good fit for us to do this. And it's a win for everybody because it helps me continue to be like independent. It helps you as the brand. And because it's something that fits, it actually helps the viewer. It's not just forcing them to sit and watch an ad for something they don't care about. So it's a win for everybody. Especially if it's the kind of content you might make anyway, but you have to be proactive about reaching out,
of course,
to people to do that. And
I think it's a great strategy.
It's taken half a decade for me to feel comfortable doing that, but you know,
yeah, it's hard. I got to give you that because it comes down to knowing how to run a business, basically, and do it with a profit.
Yeah, and the viewers are the customers, and I've just seen so many channels go down the, literally like shoot themselves in the foot. I guess not literally, figuratively shoot themselves in the foot by suddenly like there's way too much sponsorship stuff. There's way too much like, and it really hurts the channel. It hurts the relationship with the viewer.
It does,
and then obviously then it tanks things, which probably hurts brand relationships as well. So it ends up hurting everything. But doing none of that is also kind of dumb because you have these opportunities and you have these and you've worked hard to build something that has a value. So just throwing that away is stupid too.
Yeah.
So there's a balance that everyone has to strike for themselves.
It is. And in the beginning of this year, I signed a deal with a company that allowed me to secure the entire year. And it felt so good.
Coke Zero. No, I'm just kidding.
Fat tire beer. Thank you. No, but it feels so good to be able to know that, okay, this amount of money is coming in as long as I make this amount of videos.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to rely on affiliate sales.
You have a safety net.
AdSense. Yeah, exactly. Even though I'm going to say that I have good affiliate sales, but the more companies that you can work with, the more companies that you can secure and have that safety net with, the better you're going to be off.
Yeah. Right? And we were kind of talking about this yesterday, and it'd be an interesting thing to go in because all around the world, whether it's your country or my country, signs are pointing towards a recession.
Yes.
And the last huge recession that really impacted a lot of people was 2008, and our jobs didn't exist in 2008.
Yes.
So you can't look back. It's hard to look back and do a one-to-one comparison anyway. But you can't look back and go like, oh, what did a content creator, how did they weather that? Or what did they do to stay successful? It wasn't a thing.
No.
So now it's sort of like you can kind of see where it's very scary. It's like, well, does that job disappear? Or is it a situation where that's actually a really strong position to be in? And I can see arguments either way. But it's something that's really important to be aware of.
It is.
Because something has to be changing soon.
Yeah. But I was actually reading an article yesterday about this exact topic. And looking at all the different like statistics that the bureaus and newspapers have put together, they think that like influencer marketing is just going to grow.
I that's kind of my hope too, because it is, from a company's perspective, way cheaper than traditional marketing and way more effective.
It is.
So that's good.
And I think we talked about this before.
I just want to make sure the red ring is going around the screen.
I think we talked about this before, but when it comes to content creators and what was it? I lost it.
Content creators and super cool.
Yes. No money. Content creators. Come on. Bring it back, Peter.
Recession, business, governments, economics.
Yes. It was something like that. We've talked about that before. It had something to do with influencer
brands and marketing. Brand. And
I totally lost it.
That's okay.
There you go.
You know what?
It's like it's gone.
Jet lag is a real.
You got to blame Fat Tire.
No longer. Yet. The deal is over.
<It's> like, zero.
It's also, I know, I mean, you've handled the jet lag very well, but it is your nighttime pretty much at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's middle of the day.
Yeah. Your family's going to sleep right now.
Yes. No, but talking about creator economy and that kind of stuff, I think at least that moving forward into like 2023, 2024, I think that is only going to grow. But as we talked about yesterday, it's also going to be harder to become a brand.
This is
like when you start.
This is interesting to me because it goes against what the most common thing is it too late to start a YouTube channel? No, there's always time. You just got to get started, get started. But you are saying that maybe it is actually going to be harder to get to a point where you can like sustain yourself financially.
I think, yeah, because if you see, as we said, you know, when you see a bunch of channels, right, you have 1,000 channels that are within the camera niche. Every single one of them looks incredible.
Yeah, they sound
incredible. They are super skilled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is something that I didn't see 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was rough. Like you had several channels that were good. And then you had a lot of like, okay, what's going on here? And then you didn't have this oversaturated, everyone wants to look the same and do the same thing.
Right.
Now it's more like, as we've talked about as well, people buy things and make a video on that and then make 4 videos on that and then they return that and then they only make the videos because they want to make videos on the products that are popular so that they can get the views and grow their channel.
Right.
Which is one strategy, I guess. But I think that something to focus on is to be more unique. I mean, like everyone can have nanolights in the background and make it look the way that I have it if you want.
Right.
But then it's just going to look like a PL set.
Right. A little Bobo knockoff dollar store version.
So why? Why would you do that?
Exactly. I mean,
like, do it your own way. I mean, like you can take what I, because it's also something worth knowing for those listening and watching. Like my inspiration off my studio is from Casey Neistat.
Me too. But our studios look very different.
Yes, it is. You utilize the walls.
I use the walls and the bright lights.
Exactly. And I utilize the long room, the walls, and have a lot of free space in between. So I can do stuff that is interesting there. I can push boxes in. I can do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look like Casey's studio.
No.
Right?
Not at all.
Yours doesn't look like Casey's studio.
No, it doesn't.
So we took something, like an idea, what we liked, and then applied our own thing.
Yeah.
And then we ended up with something that people think is kind of iconic, but now it's our thing. So if people like, if you want to start your own thing, then make sure they take the inspiration, but don't do the same thing.
Because so Casey's studio is what drew me to his videos initially. Like they were popping up and I just wasn't watching them because it just seemed like the thing that was super popular. Like my high school kids liked them. And I was like, I don't need to watch like a prank channel or something. I didn't know what it was. And then I finally watched when it was him in his studio talking and he's good, obviously. So the video was interesting, but the studio was fascinating to me because it looked like a place where when the camera was off, he was still doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like he's working on projects. He's making like, and that was really interesting to me. Like you're in somebody's space And there's definitely a difference between something like that versus a set where it's like, we're going to build these shelves. We're going to put decorations on them. We're never going to touch those things, which is also, there's nothing wrong with that either, but it's a very different thing. And so what I liked was, okay, I want to make something where it feels like you're in a space that I do things when the camera's not running too. And then that was just my office where I did work and I played music and I did all that kind of stuff. So it's like, oh yeah, come in here.
Yeah.
Hang out in here, and that's where I'll make the videos.
Yeah, and that ties in with like the unique thing, because you have all these things that you like, you have all these things that you do when you're not making videos.
Right.
So tie those things in, like to your set. Like, what is the personal things that can be you in the background of your videos?
Yeah, it doesn't have. Yeah, the vast majority, at least up until recently, have a drum set in the back. But I'm not a music channel. Even still, most of the background is like guitars or amps or whatever, and it's like I don't talk about music basically ever.
No,
but it looks cool and it's fun, and when you watch it, it kind of, I don't have to say anything about it, but it gives you another side of me as a person, and that's cool.
It is. And I think that, like, for those listening that wants to begin their journey, it's not impossible. Like, just because we said that it's going to get harder and the market is saturated, because it doesn't matter how you see it, every market at some point does get saturated.
Yeah, everything, right? It matures, it plateaus.
Yeah,
it happens.
And then a new company takes over, and then this and that happens. So like, if you're starting out, there's no yes or no that you're not going to be successful or that you are going to be successful. But I think, my personal opinion, I'm just saying this,
right,
is that you got to be more unique. You got to be you. You got to be like, what can you bring to the table?
To YouTube?
To YouTube.
It's right there in the name, right?
God. The puns. I love them.
That's why Peter really got sick. It's like,
No, but just think about that when you're starting out, because, you know, if you're trying to be Peter Lindgren or Tom Buck, then it probably will not work.
You have to lean into the things that do make you stand out. We were talking yesterday. I was watching an old video that was related to one we were working on yesterday, and it was a really solid video. Like, it's a very clear, well-produced. It's a good video. I'm confident in that being a good video. There's no personality in that video. It's like, from 3 or 4 years ago, and it is just, this is what we're talking about today. This is what the thing is. You just need to do this and push this button and put this over here, and then it will do that thing. Cool. I have the information, but kind of anybody could give that information out.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it takes a skill or somebody to make it clear and stuff, but a lot of people can do that. What can you do that makes it so nobody else could have made that video? Yeah.
And then it's worth noting that it requires a lot of practice. I mean, like,
yes,
sitting in front of the camera like this, talking to it, being just comfortable with the camera rolling and not thinking about your mistakes.
Yeah.
It requires a lot of practice.
It does. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So people, most of the time, it's like one of the recent things that I've been thinking about is people saying, okay, so, oh, you're doing YouTube, like just recording yourself.
Right. Like, so easy.
Here, take the camera, do it. It's like, people are going to be like,
well, that goes back to the idea of when somebody says something negative or critical or whatever, you know, this video sucks, you're bad at this, you need to change that. There are people out there who are just unbalanced.
Yes.
I can't help them. But there are also people out there who will be critical, will do that because it looks so easy. This is just a guy sitting in a room. Yeah. This is just a guy walking around with a camera, filming his hands or whatever. And it's like, I think that the vast majority of people that say those things, if they shadowed you from the process, from the outlining process to the getting out, making the video, putting it together, putting this video together while also simultaneously getting this video going over here, stressing about, is this good enough? Is that good? Should I do this? Okay. The thumbnail, putting it up, that whole process. Nobody could then would say something bad about it, because they would see like, oh my God, like even if it's not for me, even if the final video is not the video that, like, it's not a video I want to watch or anything, it's still like the respect that you have for, it's like, I don't like this food, but I understand why other people like it. And I understand the skill that went into making this dish. It's just not my favorite meal.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You don't go to the restaurant and then you get like your plate of food, and then you say like, oh, so you're just cooking food, huh?
Yeah, I have a kitchen. I can just cook food if I want.
I can cook.
Yeah, I have a stove. It's like, yeah, okay, well, I'm not a 5-star restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
Why not?
I always think about that when you're starting out. It's one of those things that I would have loved to have that in my mind, that it is hard sitting and talking in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was.
No, it for sure is hard. And that is the performance part of it, even if you're being very much yourself. Because, like, you know, I know we've been talking as friends for years.
Yeah.
But not face-to-face.
No.
But the person you are when we talk on FaceTime or whatever, the person you are sitting here is the same person that I see in the videos. But when you're in the videos, there is, I guess performance is the word. I don't know if that's the right word or not. Doesn't mean you're not being true to yourself, but you're aware you're being filmed. You're speaking in a certain way. You're hitting certain points. You're emphasizing things. Like,
of course.
That's exhausting.
It is. But it's also the reason why that is happening, like why anyone of us does it, is because it makes the videos more engaging.
Yeah, 100%. And
if you look at anyone that is like a TV host, if they were just sitting at their couch at home, they would probably be pretty similar, but they wouldn't sit like, hi there and welcome to Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it is a performance to be in front of the camera. It's like being a public speaker. You have to engage the audience.
Yeah.
And you can't engage the audience without pointing out certain things. You have a specific tonal in your voice, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're gauging them. Yeah. Okay. They might be getting bored here. So I need to like,
and then you also see the edits.
Right.
Right. So you always see the edited videos, which is the like,
so that's another thing. Like watching you mess up is great. It makes me feel so much better because, like, you know, a lot of people will post funny bloopers. Like, here's a thing fell down, or I accidentally said something goofy. But what people don't often share, because why would you, is the thing where it's like, this is the Rode PodMic, and the Rode PodMic is. When it comes to microphones, the pod, and you're just the same thing. It's like the
brain farts.
Yeah, 12 times, or you just can't get over one word is just throwing you up the pod Rode mic. No, and you just going through until you get it right, or just trying it. Like, I got it, but it didn't feel right, so I'm going to do it again and again. And nobody sees that. They just see the part where it looks like he did this in one take, and it's so smooth. Yeah. And
it is amazing. But that brings us back to like the beginning of the podcast where we talked a little bit about editing. How editing is kind of the superpower.
Oh my God. So much so. So much so.
Practice editing. I'm going to say that 1,000 times over.
Yeah.
It is so crucial because so many times I've been recording, like, for example, the best thing ever that I got is when I stomped the boxes, like in our garbage room. That is the most boring thing to watch. Like, literally.
Right.
You just see the camera and me for like 10 minutes stomping the boxes.
Yeah. Right? Long one shot.
And then you create like, all of a sudden it's 20 seconds of like super frenetic, like timed beats.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 100% just in the edit.
Yeah.
And learning to edit yourself, like, you know, the amount of times you splice sentences together and throw this over here and, you know, it's not that you're changing the meaning or anything, but you're making it clearer. And then even once you get it where it's like, this sounds good and it looks good, then going through and going like, I already said this, chop it out. Or I said a version of this. This actually isn't about this point. And then like literally editing as in like chopping out and condensing things to be as tight as possible. That's very much a skill that requires practice.
It is. How do you feel? Do you think we're...
I think our camera... Super impressed that the camera is out here in this weather, FX3, fan is set to auto, no overheating, running full time, running two microphones directly into the camera.
That is impressive.
Yeah. With the screen on sun full brightness mode.
It is.
You know what? Good job, FX3.
It's a good camera. Thank you so much. My beer is over. Yours full.
I was starting to get a little gurgly up in here and I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with the Coke Zero for now.
It was great having an IRL podcast on.
Yes. And maybe at some point we'll have another one at some point when it's feasible.
Yes.
Because normally it is one of us is asleep when the other's awake, basically. So
yeah, that is something that I have realized going over here that like the time difference is way too big.
It's hard.
It is like now, as you said, like Amanda's going to sleep and we're sitting here, we're talking. And then this morning when I texted Amanda, like it's 6 a.m., she's like, good afternoon.
Yeah, it's like 3 p.m. or something.
Yeah. So we talked about this. When Tom is waking up and it's 4 p.m. at my place, yeah. He hasn't experienced anything during that day.
I'm not even used to like talking yet.
No.
Those days I always tried to talk a lot to Heather in the morning, like, yeah, today we're doing this and this, like just to get it going. But yeah, nothing has happened. So you're like, how's your day? And I'm like, it's great. I had toast. Like, it's good. But yeah, your day is, you're like, oh, these things happen. I talked to this person, this yeah. thing developed. I finished making this project.
No, but we're going to try to make something.
Yeah, there's also just the time constraints where yeah. it's like the very realistic, like podcast is amazingly fun and I would do them all day, every day. But if you need to spend time doing a thing that's going to pay for a house yeah. or pay,
it comes down to the business perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, like spending time making money or spending time having fun. When you gotta weigh them against each other at some point,
yeah. And selfishly hard. For me, I get to talk to you either way, so it's cool.
It is great. It has been super fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I appreciate it. I mean, geez, 2.5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought. YouTube is weird. The internet is weird. The things that can happen are weird.
Now we're sitting here.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So I'm super happy you're here.
Yeah, I'm super happy to be here, Tom.
Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling good.
Thank you for being the best host ever.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Please leave us a good Airbnb review.
Yes, I will. Yelp?
Yeah.
5 stars.
All right, so thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to follow Tom over on his channel. I'm going to drop a link down in the description below because this is going to be posted to my blog channel.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going, but this will be somewhere on my, I think, Patreon and channel members videos.
So subscribe to Tom and just enjoy his videos. He's so close to 100K. So we're going to try to get him there.
I was hoping there would be a miracle and would happen while you were here because that would just be cool.
That'd be cool.
It didn't happen. I mean, there's still time.
Who knows?
Something crazy happens today.
You know, I can edit the video that we shot yesterday. I'm going to do it in 1 hour.
If that video just is the most insane.
Let's crop in, crop out.
Yeah.
No. So anyway. Thanks so much for listening, watching, whatever you've been doing, and wherever you've been sitting. We appreciate you. It's been amazing to have you. And thank you for following the podcast and me and Tom and our journey. And we can't wait to see yours.
Definitely appreciate it. And now I can use the Sony remote to wrap up the show.